The chairman of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is warning that some parts of the world are already at the tipping point for dangerous climate change. Dr. Rajendra Pachauri is in Melbourne as the International Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change finalises its first major report on climate change since 2007. He's been speaking to Simon Lauder.
Well, I think it's becoming abundantly clear that developing countries have to do the right thing for their own sake. And, you know, that involves using all resources more efficiently. The reality is that in the developing world, demand for all kinds of resources has been growing very rapidly. And, you know, the extraction of these worldwide has been growing essentially to meet the demand of the developing countries.
Australia could have a change of government later this year, and that would mean the end of Australia's carbon tax. What would that do to global efforts?
I think if we have to mitigate emissions of greenhouse gases globally, you really need a massive effort all over the world. It's not just Australia. Of course, Australia would be important because the example of one country can be very inspiring and useful for other countries in the world. So I hope Australia will stay in the lead as far as mitigation is concerned.
When do you think there will be a global agreement on climate change action?
It's really very difficult to predict because, you know, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change came into existence in 1992. 21 years have gone by, approximately, and we still don't have a global agreement. I believe what's going to be far more important are two things. Firstly, creating awareness on the science of climate change, by which people all over the world realize that we need collective action, and, you know, this collective action will have to come from individual initiatives. And secondly, that we need to start using local government, both at the national and the subnational level, to take the right steps. And if that happens worldwide, then I think the global agreement will follow as a consequence.
You've said before that carbon dioxide needs to be no higher than 350 parts per million to avoid the climate tipping point. Do you think action is happening fast enough to avoid that still?
Well, I did preface that remark by saying this is a personal view, and I'm not saying that as chairman of the IPCC, because the IPCC is not supposed to be policy prescriptive. I mean, it's for the world to decide whether they want 350 parts per million or 450 or whatever. But as a human being, as an individual, I would say that I would feel comfortable with that level. And of course, we know that that's going to be quite a challenge.
What do you mean when you talk about a tipping point, and do you think that it's avoidable?
You know, it's really a question of defining what the tipping point is for whom. Parts of the world where, if you were to talk to people over there, they'll tell you that they're probably at the tipping point already, or they might even have crossed it. So, you know, I think we have to take a very realistic view of situations differing from one place in the world to the other. And my own feeling is that we have to worry about the most vulnerable in the world should be conscious of that.
Do you think there's a problem with the system of democracy whereby arguably there's only a real incentive for governments to take action once the tipping point has been reached?
Well, I don't know. If you look at energy use in the former Soviet Union, I mean, it was a horror story. They were extremely energy intensive. So I think in the end, as Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government except all the others. And, you know, I think democratic societies have a record of things like the Montreal Protocol, which came into existence very rapidly, and several other actions. So, you know, I think if there's spread of awareness and political will follows as a result, then in a democracy, you can get remarkably swift consensus to do the right thing. So I wouldn't rule that out in a democratic society.
The IPCC's fifth assessment report will be finalised soon, I believe, and I think it's being released next year. How will it be different? What can we expect from it?
Well, I expect it will be an advancement in terms of knowledge based on published material that has been produced since 2007, since we brought out the last report. There will be a few new features. We're looking at a whole range of topics in much greater depth this time. And hopefully we'll be able to fill some of the gaps. Most importantly, there'll be, in my view, much greater regional detail this time. So people would know what the impacts of climate change would be in specific locations throughout the world. And I think this would help create understanding on what needs to be done.
The fourth assessment report contained incorrect figures about the glacier melt in the Himalayas and was criticised for relying on contributions from environment groups. Have lessons been learned from that?
Well, that, in my view, was a very minor error. I mean, basically, that was an error that was hidden somewhere in the pages of that 3,000-plus page document. And that doesn't in any way take away from the fact that the Himalayan glaciers are melting at a very rapid rate. And I think this in no way minimizes the strength and the validity of all the rich findings that we have, thousands of them, in that particular report. And I think the basic thrust and the content of the report remains, in my view, as robust as ever.
That's the chairman of the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, speaking to Simon Lauder in Melbourne.